Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. As you look at the world today and all the problems that face the peoples of the world, what would you say is the world's greatest problem? Would it be the devastation caused by the three hurricanes, Katrina, Ophelia, and Rita, that recently hit the U.S. mainland? Would it be the continuing brutal, bloody war in Iraq, where Iraqis and U.S. soldiers are being killed and killing insurgents on a daily basis? Would it be the nuclear threat posed by the rogue nations of Iran and North Korea? Would it be the continued violence and terror that ravages the Holy Land? Would it be the threat of nuclear terrorism in the United States? Our leaders warn us that that is the threat of nuclear terrorism, the greatest threat to the United States. Would it be the worldwide energy crisis? Would it be global warming? Would it be the upset weather patterns around the world? Would it be the collapse of our moral compass that leads us into a cesspool of moral relativism? Would it be the never-ending struggles of the average person to provide for the basic necessities of life? Would it be the direction of our youth as they increasingly are seduced by the drug, sex, rock-drenched culture that tears at the very fabric of the nuclear family? We could go on and on with this seemingly insurmountable list of problems that are facing the peoples of the world at this critical, crucial juncture in human history. And the truth of the matter is, these are only the beginnings of the sorrows that humanity will be facing in the near future. During the last days of Jesus' ministry here on earth, the disciples came unto him privately, asking him, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of this present evil age?" Old King James says world. This world is not going to end, but this present evil age in which Satan is the god of this world is going to end, and Jesus Christ is going to come back and establish the kingdom of God on this earth, and righteousness is going to reign on the face of the earth. Jesus then gave them several signs of what would be happening as this present evil age draws to a close. This is Matthew 24, verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So there shall be many pseudo-messiahs who are going to rise up and claim that they are the saviors of humankind. You shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in different places. All of these are the beginnings of sorrows." Yes, we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, as it were, now. These are just the beginnings of sorrows. As you see, the people who have fled from the hurricanes, especially those on the Gulf Coast, from Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, and you see them in these evacuation centers, you begin to get an idea of what it's like to really be suffering from the consequences that are brought on by natural disaster. And this is nothing like it is sometimes with war, where people are killed right on the spot and their homes and everything are wiped out. The Bible says these are the beginnings of sorrows. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Why would they deliver you up and afflict you and kill you? It is because you stand for the truth. You know what the truth is. You know that these pseudo-messiahs are not going to bring you peace and prosperity as they promise. "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, and iniquity means lawlessness, yes, moral relativism reigns supreme. You can't speak against any kind of aberrant behavior today. You have to accept all forms of behavior. Contrary to what the Bible says that certain behaviors are not acceptable, and people who do these things will not be in the kingdom of God. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why? Because the lawlessness, the iniquity permeates the society. And everything you see on television, basically, and the things that you hear and see on the talk shows are really in praise of this lawlessness, when it really gets down to it. Goes on to say, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He who is faithful to the truth to the very end, the same shall be saved. It says in Revelation 17:14 that when Jesus Christ comes again, that those who are with him are faithful and chosen, and they remain faithful unto the end. He goes on to say that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. All of these things, all of these signs that Jesus Christ gave, are being fulfilled right before your eyes today. The only one of these that is not being fulfilled as we speak is the placing of the abomination of desolation. But the stage is being set for the placing of the abomination of desolation as a battle for control of the Holy Land, and especially for Jerusalem, heats up. So once again, as you look at all the problems that beset the peoples of the world today, what is humankind's greatest problem? Here is our greatest problem. We have forgotten our loving Heavenly Father. In fact, for so many people in the world today, not only have they forgotten God, they are denying His very existence. 11 parents in Pennsylvania have filed suit against the Dover Area School District's adoption last year of an addition to the science curriculum, directing teachers, in addition to teaching evolution, to tell students about intelligent design and refer them to another textbook that champions intelligent design. Three opposing board members resigned after the vote. The parents contend that the directive, that is, the ones who are bringing the suit, amounted to an attempt to inject religion into the curriculum in violation of the First Amendment. Their case was joined by the American Civil Liberties Union and Americans United for Separation for Church and State. The school board is being defended by pro bono, that is, someone has agreed to take the case for free, by the Thomas More Law Center, a Christian law firm in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The case is being heard without a jury in Harrisburg by U.S. District Judge John Jones III, whom President Bush appointed to the bench in 2002. Alan Leshner, Chief Executive of the American Academy for the Advancement of Science and publisher of the Journal of Science, states, quote, intelligent design is simply the most recent version of creationism, which is admittedly a religious concept. Leshner went on to say there is no scientific basis to intelligent design, end of quote. I would immediately rebut Leshner's statement with the fact that there is no scientific basis to the origin of life apart from creationism. Creationism is the only rational explanation for the origin of life when all the physical and biological laws are examined in unison. It takes far more faith to believe in life originating from nothing than it does to believe in the great Creator God. Scientists want to begin with some form of matter or some form of life and talk about evolution, but they are yet to come up with any kind of satisfactory explanation for the origin of matter or the origin of the one-cell microorganism that is supposedly the father and mother of all life on the planet. The path that the so-called intelligentsia are taking on the origin of the universe and the origin of life plainly demonstrates that not only have they forgotten God, they don't even believe that God exists. Psalms 14 verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart that there is no God." When we look at all the geopolitical, social, economic, health, and moral problems that plague humankind, world and national leaders talk about developing programs that will eradicate strife, poverty, and disease from the face of the earth, but they leave God out of the picture. These programs focus on the peoples of the world, pooling their resources, laying aside their differences, and coming together to create a global village or world community. One of the most startling studies, I suppose you would say, but we're not surprised, that it comes out of Britain, the United Kingdom, just recently, in which a supposedly a reputable academic study that says society is worse off when they have God on their side. Quoting from the article, "Religious belief can cause damage to a society, contributing towards high murder rates, abortion, sexual promiscuity, and suicide, according to research published today. According to the study, belief in and worship of God are not only unnecessary for a healthy society, but may actually contribute to social problems." And here is the thesis, the basis of the study. In other words, they look at the nations of the world who profess to believe in the great Creator God and examine the crime rates and other social abnormalities in that nation and say, well, it's because of their belief in God. Well, you can profess to believe in God, but if you really believe in God, you do what He says, and the Ten Commandments would legislate against all of these aberrant behaviors. So to say that because a person just professes to believe in God, that shows that that nation that really believes in God has higher rates of these is a felonious argument, and anyone can see how fallacious that it really is. It says in one point in the article, "The paper published in the Journal of Religion and Society, a U.S. academic journal, reports, quote, many Americans agree that their church-going nation is an exceptional, God-blessed, shining city on the hill that stands as an impressive example for an increasingly skeptical world. In general, higher rates of belief in and worship of a creator correlate with higher rates of homicide, juvenile, and early adult mortality, STD infection rates, teen pregnancy, and abortion in the prosperous democracies. The United States is almost always the most dysfunctional of the developing democracies, sometimes particularly spectacularly so." So they're saying that because the nation believes in God, they have these kind of social abnormalities and lawlessness. But the truth is that there really is no correlation between, quote, belief in God and really doing what He says. To say that you believe in God does not necessarily mean that you are going to commit these aberrant acts and commit lawless acts. It is because that our culture has been saturated with moral relativism and the things that Hollywood spews out and broadcasts to the rest of the world. It is one of the main reasons why we have the enemies that we have in certain parts of the world. So this study is fallacious. It does not have a sound basis, and anyone who knows anything about research can readily see it's like comparing apples with oranges, as the old saying goes. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the question, whose God are you really going to believe in? If you would really like to understand what life is all about, why you're here on the earth, then you need to enroll in our free Bible study course. It will take you from Genesis through Revelation in 12 beautifully designed lessons. All you have to do to receive the free Bible study course is to call our toll-free number and request it. At the same time, we will send you the article, Are We Living in the Last Days? As we see world events speed up, as we see the natural disasters, we see hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, we see famine and pestilences in various parts of the world. As Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, these are the beginnings of sorrow. So you need to understand, are we living in the last days? And also you need to prepare for the times that lie ahead. We will also send you a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, a magazine of understanding that will help you keep abreast of the things that you can be doing in every aspect of your life in preparing yourself spiritually and physically for the times that lie ahead. So all you have to do to receive all this free literature is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, the toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to world news and prophecy. So how do world leaders expect to solve all the problems that beset the sons of men, the geopolitical, social, economic, health, and moral problems? What are world and national leaders going to do when they begin to talk about developing programs that will eradicate strife, poverty, disease from the face of the earth? Well, generally, they focus on the peoples of the world pooling their resources, laying aside their differences, and coming together to create a global village or world community. For example, while the world's official political leaders were meeting at the UN recently, observing the 60th anniversary of the UN, former U.S. President Bill Clinton was holding his own World Forum in New York City. The Clinton Global Initiative resulted in 750 global leaders and their aides meeting in the Sheraton New York Hotel and Towers at $15,000 per head to forge, quote, a new level of global cooperation. A South China Morning Post headline captured the ideological purpose of Clinton's global initiative. Quote, his plans are grand, but can he save the world? Maybe so, according to heavy hitter sponsors, including Microsoft, Starbucks, Hewlett-Packard, Google, Yahoo, Goldman Sachs, and the Rockefeller Foundation and Citigroup. Interestingly, these very foundations and think tanks are the very ones that have sponsored many research projects that have fostered moral relativism and secular humanism. In short, these foundations and think tanks leave God out of the picture. Humankind must solve its own problems apart from God. In fact, many believe that religion is one of the greatest deterrents to unifying the peoples of the world into a global community for the common good. For example, the Clinton Global Initiative finds religion to be, quote, a chief engine of deadly conflict, providing immediate pretext and overall context. In other pretext, a reason for doing what you do, and the context of it is that you're going to make the world safe for whatever it is that you're fighting for. Yet people of faith are wary of these. People of faith are wary of those who preach peace by fingering religion as the source of deadly conflict. Is religion really the source of deadly conflict, or is it human nature and that which resides in the hearts of men? Or yet, it goes back to Satan the devil, as Paul writes, the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against wicked spirits in high places. Yes, Satan, devil, continues on his insatiable quest to be worshipped, and he is the one who really stirs up the hearts and minds of those who would forget God. In light of Clinton's global initiative goal of an integrated global community of shared benefits, responsibilities, and values, a looming question is, whose religious values will this integrated global community demand? In other words, whose God is going to be the final arbiter of what is right and wrong? The advisory board for the Religion Forum of Clinton's global initiative is packed with those who are noted for their liberal views toward religion, those for whom dogma is problematical. Board members include the Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, D.C., Theodore Cardinal McCarrick, Edgar Brochman, Senior President of the World Jewish Congress, and William F. Vinley, Secretary General of the World Conference of Religions for Peace, International Religions for Peace. Once again, the looming question is, whose religious values will this integrated global community demand? The major religions of the world are looking for a grand and great spiritual leader to come on the scene and lead the world into an era of peace and prosperity. The Buddhists are looking for the fifth Buddha. The Hindus are looking for Krishna. The Islamic world is looking for the Grand Mahdi. The New Agers are looking for the appearance of Maitreya. The Jews are looking for the Messiah, and Christians are looking for the return of Jesus Christ. So which spiritual leader will Clinton's Global Initiative Religious Advisory Board recommend? And what makes these ideologicals or ideologues believe that the peoples of the world will accept whomever they choose? You're probably already ahead of me on this one. They won't recommend any specific religious figure. They will develop a document that decries the role of sectarianism, a document that urges the people of the world to forsake their age-old beliefs that have historically, according to them, divided humankind, and develop a spirit of tolerance and acceptance of all of God's children. At certain times, the Antichrist intelligentsia will invoke the name of God to achieve their ends. They use such phrases as, "We're all created in the image of God. We all pray to the same God." Yet they don't believe in the great creator God, and they don't believe in prayer. But these are used to try to do away with the faith in the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that is revealed in the pages of your Bible. The words of the prophet Daniel make it clear that the world leader, the pseudo-Messiah that is going to come on the scene in the end times, will not worship the God of his fathers, that is, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Note the words of the prophet Daniel in Daniel 11 in verse 36. "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done." Daniel goes on to prophesy, "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold, silver, and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in his most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain." So we see clearly here that the pseudo-Messiah is not going to accept the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, there might be a facade that he accepts that, but in his heart, he doesn't really accept the true God. The Apostle Paul tells us that he will sit in the temple of God proclaiming that he is God, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, Paul writes, "That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." And the Greek word for falling away is apostasia. It means false teaching. What is the false teaching? The principal false teaching will be that Christ has come, and the world will be deceived into worshiping this false Messiah. So that day is not going to come unless there come a false teaching and a false Messiah who is sitting in the temple of God, and that man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So whose God are you going to worship? Are you going to worship the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or will you be deceived by the imposter who sits in the temple of God proclaiming that he is God? The Apostle John states that the deception would be so great that everyone except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be deceived. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's Revelation 13, verses 7 and 8. Obviously, there will be those who will not accept the pseudo-Messiah. When that time comes, the advocates of world government and one world religion will no longer draft documents that urges the people of the world to voluntarily submit to their ideology. One world religion will be enforced by a union of church and state that will force the people of the world to worship the pseudo-Messiah or be killed. In Revelation 13, beginning in verse 13, we see this. And he does great wonders, he being the false prophet, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So you see, a miracle is not necessarily a sign that it is from God, because the false prophet will do miracles, causing the world to worship the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast would be killed. And at that time, it won't matter what your socioeconomic status is. It won't matter whether or not you're an elected official or whatever, he goes on to say. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So we see that there is coming a time in which one world religion will be enforced. And it won't be the kind of religion that they're talking about right now. Have you forgotten the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And whose God will you choose when the abomination of desolation is placed in the holy place? The abomination of desolation being placed in the holy place will begin to reveal this one who sits in the temple of God claiming that he is God. The word of God is replete with dire warnings to those who forget the true God, who he really is. There are many such warnings. The words of the prophet Hosea, perhaps most descriptive. Hosea 4, in verse 6, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing you have forgotten the law of God, I will forget your children. And we see what is happening to the children of the land all across the world today. And he goes on to write, Hosea does, in Hosea 4:12. My people ask counsel at their stocks. Oh, they go to fortune tellers. They look at their astrological charts. And they develop their own kind of spiritism. And they develop a spiritual life. But that spiritual life is false. It's built on a foundation of sand. And it's not really true. And their staff declares unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they've gone whoring from under their God. As I stated in last week's broadcast, people have made God over into their own image, and as a result, they have set up other gods and have set up unto themselves graven images and taken the name of God in vain. Now is the time to seek the true God and develop a relationship with him. Note what he says, knock, and I will open. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and you shall receive. Draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. In the message to the church at Laodicea, the Apostle John was inspired to write, and these are the words of Jesus Christ, Revelation 3, verse 20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And be sure to be tuned to this same station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, You may call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. We will send you our free Bible study course, the article, Are We Living in the Last Days, and a subscription to the Good News magazine. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy.